Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. So thank you again for joining me for another opportunity to have an in-depth conversation about topics that you really must know about. The show is all about empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. I wanted to announce today that I actually have a free webinar scheduled, and I want everyone to know about this because it's going to be an amazing webinar. It begins on January 18th. If you go to my Facebook page, What Women Must Know, you'll get all the details there. But this is a special webinar that I have planned called The Greatest Revolution in Medicine, How to Stop Pain and Regenerate Your Body with Microcurrent Therapy. This is a technology that I've recently been introduced to that is quite profound for addressing all symptoms of pain, chronic illness. It affects whether you have an acute inflammatory condition, if you're dealing with fibromyalgia, back pain. I mean, you name it, it has the potential to heal because there is a revolution happening in the realm of medicine, and now there is new knowledge overthrowing this old paradigm that health and functioning for the body is due to biochemical messengers. But that's not true. The new paradigm is that our body heals and rejuvenates through electrical stimulation of the brain, which reduces inflammation, pain, and enhances cellular regeneration. So if you're really curious about a technology that you can use for yourself, your family, that is very profound, I invite you to come to my webinar. It's free, and if you can't make it, you'll get a replay, but you have to sign up. So you need to go to my Facebook page, What Women Must Know, and sign up there, and you'll get some fantastic information. I've already been using this technology, and I have personally experienced the elimination of pain. I was having an achy knee. That's all gone. I had cut my finger, and I used this technology, and it totally healed it, got rid of the pain, the redness, the inflammation, and the list of benefits go on and on. So come along, learn, because you want to have the resources to look after your own health and well-being. So I just want to tell everyone about that event. I don't do many webinars, but this is one that's coming up. Please join me. And let's talk about the guest that I have today and the topic that is really critical for your health and well-being. We're going to be talking about the GMO story, genetically modified organisms. And we're talking with two amazing people, Jeffrey Smith and Amy Hart, who are putting together a documentary called Secret Ingredients. And I want to introduce you to both of my guests because they're both quite unique and have a great impact on this movement that has been growing around the world with the awareness of the dangers of genetically modified foods, why they're a risk problem, how they're impacting our health, and what we need to do to not only look after our own health, but stop the movement that is generating GMO foods and plants around the world. So first of all, I'm really thrilled to have Jeffrey Smith back with me today. He's been a guest a couple of other times before. Jeffrey Smith is an internationally renowned anti-GMO author and filmmaker, and he is doing and has done meticulous research and looked into the documents about how biotech companies have continued to mislead legislature and safety officials and to put the health of society at risk and the environment in peril. He works, his work summarized why the safety assessments conducted by the FDA and regulators worldwide teeter on a foundation of outdated science and false assumptions, and why genetically engineered foods must urgently become our nation's top food safety priority. Jeffrey's books include Seeds of Deception, Exposing Industry and Government Lies About the Safety of the Genetically Engineered Foods You're Eating, the world's bestseller on GMOs, and the Genetic Roulette, the Documented Health Risks of Genetically Engineered Foods. And as a highly regarded keynote speaker, Jeffrey has lectured in more than 40 countries, counseled leaders from every continent, and has been quoted by hundreds of media outlets, including the New York Times, Washington Post, BBC World Service, The Independent, Daily Telegraph, New Scientist, The Times, Associated Press, LA Times, Time Magazine, the list goes on and on. Also a popular guest, he appears on influential radio shows and television programs such as The Daily Show, BBC, NPR, Fox News, Democracy Now!, and The Dr. Oz Show. Jeffrey Smith is the founding executive director of the Institute for Responsible Technology, a leading voice of GMO health risk information for consumers, policymakers, and healthcare professionals. The Institute's educational programs are driving the tipping point of consumer rejection of GMOs, which is already starting to push genetically engineered ingredients out of the market in the U.S. And my other guest is Amy Hart. And Amy Hart is an award-winning filmmaker and photographer dedicated to shedding light on the important global health issues that we're faced with. Based in California and New York City, Amy is a founder of Centerpiece Films and Photography. She directed and produced an award-winning film on global water issues entitled Water First, Reaching the Millennium Development Goals. The film was shown at numerous conferences and festivals around the world. Amy has specialized in global and public health issues since 2002 when she became the producer of educational broadcast programs at the University of Albany School of Public Health. And Amy has specialized in global and health issues, and Amy met Jeffrey Smith when she took her camera up to the Heirloom Seed Expo with the intention of doing a photo essay on an angle of the organic food movement. Jeffrey Smith was a speaker and a moderator of a panel on GMOs. Their very first conversation was about making films on GMOs together, and so began their journey to create their latest documentary called Secret Ingredients. So, having said all of that, it's such a pleasure to welcome you, Jeffrey and Amy, to the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're both just so impressive with what you've accomplished, the impact you've made out in the world, and I have to say that, you're one of my heroes and heroines out there, inspiring me to get my message out there, because you really have been so dedicated and are making a difference. So thank you for all your efforts and time and energy that's been put into this passion and important purpose in life.
And, you know, it's working. 58% of Americans say that they're looking for non-GMO food right now. When I started out 20 years ago, people would say, what's a GMO? So now we have a huge momentum. We tip the scales in the natural products industry, reach the tipping point, the companies rush to get rid of it. We're looking to see for a tipping point happen later this year, early next year at the latest, where the rest of the food industry follows suit. So hopefully we won't be needing to educate people about why GMOs are so dangerous and how to avoid them. If we have enough people doing it, we'll get rid of it for the entire food supply, even those who've never heard of it.
Well, and that's really what the goal is, to bring this awareness out into the public. And I know this is the purpose of your new documentary, Secret Ingredients. Before we go there, because I do want you to talk about what this documentary is really all about, the purpose of it, I want to go back and educate all my listeners from the very beginning, because we hear GMO used over and over again, but like so many things that we hear constantly being repeated, we don't really know exactly what we're talking about. So I want to make sure everyone truly understands what we mean when we say a GMO or genetically modified foods. What are genetically modified foods? Let's start at the very beginning, if you don't mind.
Well, scientists take genes from bacteria or viruses and force it into the DNA of plants like soybeans and corn. The process is not natural. It's not simply hybridization. It's done in a laboratory, and it causes massive damage in the DNA and functioning of the plant, as well as introduce a new gene that does something. The main thing that it does for GMOs in the United States and around the world is to allow the crops to be sprayed with herbicide. So normally the herbicide would kill the crops, But Roundup Ready soybeans, for example, can be sprayed with Roundup herbicide. The soybeans survive, all the weeds are killed. So basically it's a technology to make weeding easier. And what percent of the GMOs in the world are in fact Roundup Ready? There's also a percentage of those that produce their own toxic insecticide that breaks open the stomach of insects to kill them. So there's an actual poison engineered into corn and cotton plants. And those are the two main traits that represent 99% of all GMOs.
You know, I think that's so important because I don't know what people think when they hear the word genetically modified organisms, but I would guess that most people don't understand that they have been modified to either withstand huge amounts of pesticides or to have them inserted inside the plant. So if a bug eats them, they are killed, basically, as a result. I think people are thinking you're inserting one plant into another, an animal or something into another plant, but it actually is more about allowing greater amounts of pesticides to be used and not harm the plant that is your crop.
And at the same time, it does change the plant, so the process itself creates a new allergen in corn, a sevenfold increase in an existing allergen in soy, nutritional problems. It could turn on oncogenes, possibly creating cancer. It could introduce antibiotic-resistant genes. So there's a lot of problems generically from the process, but it's also something that we have to be careful of what it is that we're putting in. And as you'll hear in a few minutes when we talk about secret ingredients, these poisons that are part of this poison delivery system, are the herbicides and pesticides, are extremely dangerous on their own. So we have a faulty, side-effect-prone technology that's being reinforced with toxic poisons, not a good combination.
Now, you made your initial documentary, which was a great success, but now you're doing this second documentary along with Amy. This is, the title is Secret Ingredients. What made you decide to do this next documentary? What is the purpose? What is the message you are trying to deliver?
Well, Jeffrey had met a lot of people after he made Genetic Roulette, thousands of people who came to him and said how their health improved as a result of changing their diet to a non-GMO diet. And he wanted to capture these stories. And so we put our heads together and we went out to families, not just to hear their stories in a quick way, but went into their homes and got their stories inside their homes, in their kitchens, at their dining room tables, and really saw how they had changed their lifestyles to a non-organic, a non-GMO organic diet, and really seen vast results as changes as a result of that. And these stories are really from the mother's perspective for the most part, as well as the father's and the children. But we're talking a lot to mothers. And there are a lot of women who were suffering from infertility, and they went to an infertility clinic that advised them to change their diet, among other things. And all of them have had success, and all of them are pregnant or have had babies. So we're seeing a lot of changes in many, many different diseases, chronic disorders, and fertility issues.
Okay, so I have two questions. Number one, what are the range of health conditions that we need to be aware of that are either caused by or exacerbated by eating GMO foods? The second question that I want to ask is, you know, what's the mechanism of harm? What's going on? Why are the components or the exposure to these foods causing such health consequences?
So when I travel and give lectures on GMOs, I usually ask the audience members to tell me what they've recovered from when they switch to organic. And the number one response, one most popular answer, is always gastrointestinal. And when we did a official survey with 3,600 people, of the people that got better from a non-GMO diet, an organic diet, that was 84% of them listed gastrointestinal problems as one of the problems. It's by far number one. Number two is always energy levels, and which includes brain fog. So people boost their whole lifestyle and life energy when they switch. Then we have a whole set of symptoms which was about half of the people that got better mentions mentioned, and that includes all types of immune system problems, allergies, asthma, autoimmune disease, weight problems, mood and behavior issues like anxiety and depression, and we have ADHD and things like that, pain of all types, including headaches and migraines, and skin conditions. Then there's a whole other set that's less common, including cancer and restless leg syndrome and diabetes and autism and a number of other things. If you look at the charts of these diseases and for their incidence in the United States, and you plot the increased use of Roundup herbicide on Roundup Ready soy and corn, because that is one of the mechanisms that will be part of the answer to your second question, and you also plot simply the percentage of soy and corn that's genetically modified in the U.S., you see a striking correlation between the GMO and Roundup and autism, obesity, deaths from obesity, deaths from stroke and senile dementia and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, kidney disease, liver disease, about six or seven types of cancer, birth defects, schizophrenia, anemia, ADHD, inflammatory bowel, things like that. And so it's quite a large range. And that begs the question, what's the mechanism that might actually be causing so many problems? Well, we identify those in the film Secret Ingredients, and we have experts talking about each of them. Now, when you think about GMOs in general, they have done this type of damage to animals in animal feeding studies. When the American Academy of Environmental Medicine reviewed the animal studies, they said it was causing digestive issues, reproductive issues, accelerated aging, organ damage, dysfunctional regulation of cholesterol and insulin, etc. When you look at the particular poisons that they're using, and let's just start with Roundup herbicide. Roundup's active ingredient, glyphosate, has been named by the World Health Organization as a probable carcinogen for humans. And so that could explain, for example, the rise of six or seven types of cancer in the U.S. paralleling with the rise in the use of Roundup. But it also is an endocrine disruptor at lower levels and can mess up our whole endocrine system, and I know you're an expert at that. It can cause a change in the sex hormones. In some of the research, it showed that the female lab animals had higher levels of testosterone and the males had higher levels of estrogen, so it kind of reversed the gender roles for the hormone. So it can have a big impact on the hormones and the estrogen balance and insulin, etc. It also is patented, Roundup is patented, or glyphosate, as an antibiotic. And as you know, the gut bacteria in our bodies are critical for digestion, immune system, and detoxification. And unfortunately, the glyphosate kills the beneficial bacteria, the kind of stuff that we pay for, the probiotics that are good for you, and allows the negative gut bacteria to run amok. And negative gut bacteria overgrowth is linked to a long list of diseases. When that happens, it can cause holes in the walls of the intestines. That leaky gut is linked to another whole long list of diseases. And so if you look at the gut health, and you look at the endocrine disruption, and you look at the carcinogenicity, you get a sense for what's going on. Add to that the fact that Roundup is a mitochondrial toxin, that it shuts down certain metabolic pathways that are responsible for providing enough serotonin and dopamine and melatonin, that it can help dismantle the detoxification of the liver. And you get a sense that it's like, as I've described it in one YouTube interview, the Darth Vader chemical. And it comes in a package saying, oh, it's fine, it's safe. But in fact, it's extremely dangerous to the whole system.
You know, when you mention that long list, I know what must be going through people's minds, and that is, but how could this have been allowed to be used and proliferated to the degree that it has in our country and around the world? And I think you just need to briefly address that point, because it seems unimaginable that something that is so toxic has been used in the, you know, millions of tons over the years without any concern by the government.
There's three answers I'll give. The first is the GMO story, and that was primarily in the hands of the FDA. The FDA had been instructed by the White House under the first Bush administration to promote GMOs, and so they brought in Michael Taylor, Monsanto's former attorney. Monsanto, of course, is the big GMO company. And Michael Taylor was in charge of all policy for our government, for the FDA, at the time that the FDA was told to create the GMO policy. So the policy that he oversaw falsely claimed that the agency wasn't aware of information showing that GMOs were significantly different, and therefore no testing was necessary and no labeling was necessary. Monsanto, who told us that Agent Orange and PCBs and DDT were safe and got that wrong, could determine on their own whether their GMOs were safe and put it on the market without telling the FDA or consumers. Years later, a lawsuit forced the FDA to turn over its secret internal memos, and we discovered the entire policy was based on a lie, that in fact the overwhelming consensus among the scientists working at the agency was exactly the opposite, that GMOs were dangerous and needed to be tested. Michael Taylor, when leaving the FDA, became Monsanto's vice president, and is now back at the FDA as the U.S. food safety czar. So that shows you the complete corruption that's the basis of allowing GMOs on the market. Then you have Roundup. Roundup is regulated by the EPA, and the EPA had evidence showing that Roundup, or its active ingredient glyphosate, was linked to damage in virtually every organ and every gland in the lab animals, and they approved it nonetheless. And if you look at the detailed science, which is now made available from the EPA only to one person, and we'll be talking about that in the film, we'll go into it too much now, but that one person will share how the information that implicates the toxicity of glyphosate was skillfully hidden behind all sorts of unscientific means, how the industry basically used tobacco science to rig their research to hide or cover up the evidence, and then the EPA agreed to Monsanto's request to seal the research so that no one else could view it. So we have access to some of that, which has been released in a peer-reviewed study also this year, showing devastating impacts of glyphosate that was known by the government since the 1970s or 80s. And then finally, the EPA ignores some of the fundamental science behind the toxicity of chemicals. We know, for example, that glyphosate is just one of many, many ingredients in Roundup, and that Roundup itself can be 100 times or more toxic than glyphosate, than just the one active ingredient. There's another ingredient in Roundup that's 10,000 times more toxic, but none of that other ingredients are tested. They consider them inert. It's a lie, but they allow the companies to get away with a declaration that only the active ingredient is important, and so they ignore the combination, which is far more dangerous. But in addition, they ignore the low-dose effects. As you know, as being an expert in endocrine system and hormones, it's tiny levels of certain things called endocrine disruptors that can wreak havoc in our thyroid, in our adrenal glands, in our pituitary, etc. So at parts per trillion, at tiny amounts, glyphosate has caused the reproduction of human breast cancer cells, has caused damage and genetic changes in tissues like organs like liver and kidneys, big changes. And yet none of that is looked at by the EPA because they're about 15 years behind in science. And we think that it's because they, like the EPA, like the FDA as well, are kind of a captive organization. The companies that they regulate are, in fact, dictating terms to these regulatory agencies.
Well, you know, the rabbit hole goes really deep, doesn't it? When you really investigate this as you have, you can see the levels of corruption and how this whole industry has been created to generate huge profits. You know, I just am looking at a special report for people who can get onto the PRN website and look at a special report that Gary Null, And Richard Giles wrote, Richard Gale wrote that look at basically Monsanto's sealed documents reveal the truth behind Roundup and Roundup's toxicological dangers. Everyone should go look at that special report that is on PRN.fm because it just reinforces everything you've been talking about, Jeffrey, which is so shocking, and we really need to wake everyone up. So I just want to ask you, what are the main foods that in the United States are the culprits with the GMOs? What should we avoid? What do we need to know about and make sure we eliminate them from our diet?
Well, the list of the GMOs isn't that long. It's the corn, soy, sugar, canola, cotton oil, alfalfa, some squash, and zucchini and papaya from Hawaii. But the other issue is the Roundup itself that is sprayed on wheat, rice, beans, barley, all kinds of other crops. So what has happened with the people in this story is that they've gotten better not just by eliminating GMOs, but by eliminating all pesticides and going all organic. And so that's sort of the second part of the story. The GMOs are bad enough, but it's the pesticide, and particularly the glyphosate, which is the key ingredient in Roundup, that's wreaking havoc on the body. Glyphosate was originally used as a pipe and boiler cleaner to clean out industrial pipes and boilers. And it took out all of the calcium deposits and mineral deposits because it's a chelator. It's designed to bind the minerals together. And it did that in the pipes and boilers, and after that fluid came through the pipes and boilers and it spilled out onto the fields behind the factory, the people saw that it killed every living thing in those fields. And Monsanto then bought the glyphosate molecule and turned it into an herbicide. So in addition to being a chelator, it's also an antibiotic. So it killed all the bacteria. So in our bodies and in the plants and in the soil, it does a lot of those same things. It chelates the minerals. It binds the minerals in the soil. It binds the minerals in the plants. And it binds the minerals in our body. And mineral deficiency is a huge problem in terms of the neurotransmitters, and that can affect the brain and cause autism and Alzheimer's and all kinds of other diseases.
There's also a very strong link to gluten sensitivity, and we bring that out in the film Secret Ingredients as well. And we have a website called glutenandgmos.com. And if people are suffering from gluten sensitivity, it may be that sensitivity was created by their exposure to GMOs and Roundup, because it predisposes the body for reactions through the gut bacteria, through the leaky gut, through the immune system issues, etc. And that the Roundup is sprayed on wheat in the United States, unless it's organic, that also could help explain why wheat is a problem. But the gluten is not necessarily a problem. It's more of a problem when you have a leaky gut and a problems in your digestive tract, which glyphosate and GMOs might create.
As well as BT toxins, since that's designed to poke holes in the belly of insects. You have to consider, can that poke holes in our cells? Well, in test tubes, it does poke holes in the cells of human test tube results. So in the body, we're seeing a lot of leaky guts, and that really exacerbates a lot of the health issues that we're talking about in the film.
Right. So this whole Roundup story, I mean, what I'm learning from what you both are sharing today is that there's the GMO issue, plants that have been, you know, genetically modified. But it's a bigger story because it's about the Roundup story as well, which
exactly.
is one of the most popular pesticides. I'm looking at a statistic here that says There, in 2012, there were 280 million pounds of Roundup used in the United States, and 130 countries are using Roundup now. But it's this widespread use of this glyphosate that is really turning out to be a root cause issue behind this epidemic of chronic illnesses that are plaguing our society right now.
You know, it's interesting. There was a study done by a French team led by Professor Seralini. And they basically took a model that Monsanto had created of a 90-day rat study where they fed the rats Roundup-ready corn that had been sprayed with Roundup. And Monsanto claimed that in 90 days the rats passed with flying colors and everyone can eat the Roundup-ready corn. But Seralini was on a team that had access to the normally secret documents that Monsanto uses to submit to governments and realized that actually there were over 50 parameters that were statistically significant and dangerous in these rats that were being ignored or covered over by Monsanto's broad conclusions. So they reanalyzed the data and found that there were clear signs of toxicity. Moreover, he extended that research for 2 years doing his own research on the same type of rats with the same number of controls and the same type of corn and Roundup, and found that right after 90 days, in the next 30 days, the rats started getting tumors. And within the 2 years, the group that was eating the GMOs were getting lots and lots of tumors compared to controls. They died earlier, and they had damage to their liver, kidneys, and pituitary glands. Now, what was interesting is he did a lot more research and evaluation than Monsanto. And one of the things he did is he had extra experimental groups. He had one group of rats that just ate the corn, the same Roundup-ready corn that had never been sprayed with Roundup, to see what's the difference. Is it the Roundup or is it the corn? And another group had the Roundup without the corn. And then, of course, there was the other group that had the Roundup-ready corn that was sprayed. It turns out that all three groups had multiple massive tumors, early death, and organ damage. So it was both the Roundup itself and the corn itself, as well as the combination, that resulted in this massive damage to the animals, including early death. So, yes, we do have these two things that work hand in hand. We have the smoking gun evidence of harm, and every time something like that comes out, Monsanto's minions attack it and try and distort or deny the evidence, and they have an echo chamber of all sorts of people in high places that will just read their talking points in an effort to discredit adverse findings and continue to promote this myth that GMOs are safe.
And what the mothers and fathers in this film are saying is, we don't care what Monsanto science says or what any science says. We know what happened in our family and in our children. And when you have parents who have walked into a doctor's office and been told your child is no longer autistic or no longer asthmatic or no longer covered with eczema, you know what the answers are yourself. So what all of these families are saying is, this is our story. This is what happened to us. And all the scientists out there can fight about it all they want. We know the truth for us. And that's that by changing our diet, we got healthy. We saw lists of diseases. Just leave the house. These women bring their children to the doctor, and the doctor says, we haven't seen you all year. And she says, yeah, we haven't been sick. And they bring them to the dentist, and they don't need orthodontia. Their teeth are growing in straight. It's remarkable the changes these families are seeing in the health of their children and in them, of themselves. And they're talking to all their friends and families, and some people believe them and some people don't. But what all of them are saying is, try it. Try it and see how you feel. See how your sick child feels. See what happens. And it can be tricky. Because, you know, you can eliminate these 9 crops, but you really have to look at the ingredients and look for all those hidden things like soy lecithin or canola oil at the restaurant and the French fries. You know, they serve you an organic lunch, but then the French fries are fried in canola oil. You know, you have to be a detective. And so really, it's eliminating GMOs and looking for the non-GMO label, non-GMO verified label, but it's ultimately going to organic. And a step above that is local organic, where you can walk into the farm and you can see what they're using to grow it with. And the closer we can go to 100% organic, people just see the difference.
Okay, well, we need to take a break. And when we come back, we're talking with Jeffrey Smith and Amy Hart, who are producing a new and very important documentary called Secret Ingredients. We're going to learn more about it. in just a little bit. So stay tuned. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and you're listening to What Women Must Know.
You're listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
I'm Glenn Ford.
And I'm Nellie Bailey.
Every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, we bring you Black Agenda Radio here on the Progressive Radio Network. It's produced by the team at blackagendareport.com, the cutting-edge publication for news, commentary, and analysis from the black left.
So check out our view of the world and explore our rich archives on PRN.fm. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward.
And we hope you're coming with us.
Bhavani. I invite you to join me for my show, I Eat Green with Bhavani, live every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, where I will share with you one of my favorite recipes and discuss topics related to food, the environment, sustainability, and invite some incredible guests on to join me. Please rate my show on iTunes. If you miss the show, no worries. You can find it 24/7 on the PRN archive at PRN.fm. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you are coming with us.
Hi, this is Paul Capilcante, host of The Vinyl Experience, and you're listening to PRN, your source for the best in progressive conversation, news, and entertainment.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know, and today we're talking with Jeffrey Smith and Amy Hart, who are producing a profound and important new documentary called Secret Ingredients. So let me just ask you, Amy, what's the best website that people should be visiting to learn more about your documentary and more about the whole GMO issue?
Oh, thanks for asking. They can go to secretingredientsmovie.com, secretingredientsmovie.com, and there's a trailer there that they can take a look at, and they can read about the production itself and our background, and they can also go to the donation page, because the question that we get every day in emails is, when can we see it? Where can we buy a DVD? And we would love to say, here and now, but we're not there yet. The film isn't finished yet, so we're asking for your help to go online, go to that donation page, help us out. We need finishing funds to finish the editing, finish the animation, and get this film out the door so that everybody can see it.
So you are still in the fundraising stage, and you need some more support in order to complete the production of this important documentary. So we're really asking everyone to go up there to the website, which is secretingredientsmovie.com, and make a donation there so we can get this out right away. How long do you think it will be before you have it completed?
Well, how long is a piece of string?
what's your
We finished the shooting. We're shooting for a year. Mm. And now that we have all the film footage, we've designed the animation sequences that we want, but we haven't created the animation. I'm just basically talking around sometime in the spring. How about that? In the spring, mm-hmm. It's been a full-time effort that's been crazy, and we keep discovering these incredible stories. A woman that puts everyone on an organic diet who's been infertile, and 77 out of 77 women got pregnant. People who had, cancer spread through various lungs and parts of their body, switched to a all organic treatment program and completely recovered. Doing triathlons now from being breast cancer person. So we have some amazing stories. And what I want to emphasize is, because I hear more of these stories than perhaps anyone in the world, these are not one-offs. These are typical. Unfortunately, we have, in the film, physicians saying the same thing, saying that a certain percentage of their patients will get better completely on an organic or non-GMO diet. Others, it's a combination. But even when they're taking antibiotics or doing other programs, these doctors say if they're not on an organic diet, then the other treatments are not going to work as well. So we have a lot of medical evidence. We have these charts showing that it's probably affecting millions of people. We have the animal feeding studies. And most importantly, people will see, as you will see in the trailer at secretingredientsmovie.com, you can actually meet some of the people in the film, like Kathleen, who opens it. And I'll just let you watch Kathleen's story. It's very dramatic. And I was with Amy at a chiropractor conference in 2014, the end of the year. And at the end of my talk to the chiropractors, I said, if anyone wants to do a testimonial on film, see me. So we had a number of people sign up, and Kathleen came to our room first, and we interviewed her, and it was so amazing that Amy said to me,
That's it. We've got our star. We don't need to talk to anybody else.
Fortunately, we talked to everyone else as well, and now we had two of them happened to be in the film. But it was like the best testimony of success that I had heard, because it was their entire family. They had 21 chronic conditions between the five members of the family. They tried everything. She was experimenting. She's a brilliant woman, type A personality, very, very meticulous. She studied nutrition, started to put the family through experiments, found that she changed the diet in so many different ways, took out gluten, took out dairy, all these things, and still had these conditions. Then she learned about GMOs, switched to organic, and within 2 weeks, some intractable conditions disappeared that had been there for years, and within just a few months, everything went away, including the diagnosis of autism for her son.
Yeah, and she herself was actually paralyzed. She had a back condition. She had surgery. She woke up paralyzed, which turned into myofascial syndrome, chronic fatigue syndrome. She had migraines. She was depressed. She had endless problems. She actually lost her job and had to go on permanent disability. And in the film, we have her going to see her doctor and talking to him about going off of disability and going back to work because she felt so good. And so she cured herself, she cured her son with autism and her entire family. And we also want to say, you know, her son is no longer autistic. He's getting straight A's in mainstream classroom. And are we saying that an organic will cure all cases of autism? Absolutely not. That's not what we're saying. But what Kathleen says is that any child with autism cannot get better without changing the diet and taking that into consideration. Medications alone, speech therapy alone, is going to be a challenge for any child unless they have a clean diet and their body doesn't have to fight every day the toxic chemicals that are assaulting it.
You know, I'm learning so much from our conversation because it's accepted that an organic diet is a healthier diet, you know, eliminate the exposure to pesticides. But I don't think most people, including myself, have really understood the depth of the problem from the pesticides that are predominantly Roundup in nature and all of the mechanisms of compromising our functioning that is, you know, impacted from exposure to those pesticides, which are on all of the foods that are grown commercially. And that's why, you know, we're talking about eating organic, because it's the Roundup pesticide is everywhere. And if you're eating foods that happen to be genetically modified, you're just exacerbating the risk to your body. It's a big story because I see in my practice this epidemic of autoimmune diseases and, you know, cancers. Just recently, you know, I've known of three people being diagnosed with cancer this week, and the list goes on and on, whether it's diabetes mm-hmm. or Alzheimer's, and I'm always looking for root cause issues, and this really resonates with me as one of those unseen, invisible root cause issues that have mm-hmm. contributed to this epidemic of these inflammatory conditions, you know, that are just driving us into total despair and devastation. It's yes. really profound. It's profound. I'm really getting how profound your message is.
And it is. And, you know, the thing with the Roundup is it's a low-grade but constant assault. And our bodies are amazing. They rebuild every day, every hour. Our bodies are rebuilding those cells. But when they're under a constant assault, they just wear down. And that's why when we sit down to a meal, we don't, you know, die the next minute. It's not like, you know, drinking a bottle of poison. It's a low-grade assault, and our body goes, I can handle this. I can fight back. I can handle this. I can fight back. Oh, maybe I can't. And it gets broken down, and the gut lining deteriorates, and leaky gut starts to happen. And that's what brings about a lot of the problems.
The way I like to describe leaky gut and autoimmune disease is that normally the digestive system breaks down food to itsy-bitsy pieces before it gets into the bloodstream. But if you have holes in the one-cell-thick wall of the intestine, then undigested food proteins can enter the bloodstream, and they're interpreted by the immune system as an attacker. And so all the little beings that are our immune system take out their iPhones and take pictures of these attackers and post it on their Facebook and say, go after anything that looks like this. But they're using old iPhones that are pixelated, and so when it gets on the Facebook, all the other immune system goes, wait, I'll attack that, but they end up attacking the thyroid, and they end up attacking the pancreas and the microvilli. And so that's what autoimmune disease is. It's the immune system attacking ourselves because of old iPhones.
So here, let me ask you, and that's a great metaphor, by the way. I love it. So you stop exposure to Roundup. You go organic.
Yes.
And then you have to go in, I would imagine, and start repairing the systems that have been damaged from exposure to Roundup and GMO foods.
Yes.
You find that?
But the body, you know, is an amazing machine. It does a lot of the healing itself. And there are certainly things that can be done to amp that up and repair the gut and address the immune system and so on and so forth. But good, healthy, organic food is literally worth its weight in gold. And part of this story is the cost. You know, a lot of people resist going to buy organic because of the cost of it. And they say, oh, it's just so expensive. This is three times as much. But when you look at the cost of medical care, of medications, of surgeries, of therapies, of missed days work, of feeling lousy, of not being able to have a child or having a child with autism or some other horrendous condition, what is that cost? What is that cost?
We actually have specific numbers in the film of a family that had about an $18,000 a year medical bill, if I'm remembering correctly, and after 1 year on organic, it went down to $10,000, and the next year, it went down to just their premiums of $3,000. So, and that was after spending more. Their savings was after, I mean, they spent a fraction of that on the increase in organic. Now, what's interesting, Cheryl, is this. We speak to many, many doctors and also individuals who talk about the backsliding effect, that people, they're on an organic, they have some kind of issue. They get to organic food, things get better. Then they go off the organic and go back to their old diet, and things come back to them that they thought they had cured because their body is telling them, we're sensitive to this, stop giving us this stuff. So for some people, it's immediate. They go for one meal at a restaurant or they go to a wedding. Or for other people, it could be, you know, they have to go on vacation for several days. People have different levels of sensitivity. But this concept of they're sick when they're on GMOs, they get better when they're off GMOs, and then they get sick when they're on GMOs again, and they get sick when they get better when they're off GMOs, that's very compelling. If you remember from the movie Genetic Roulette, there was a farm in South Africa where the farm workers were all eating the corn that was being grown on the farm. And the corn is a staple in South Africa, so they were eating about, you know, over half of their caloric intake was genetically modified corn, and they had a huge death rate, huge sickness rate. The farmer changed to non-GMO corn for the animals because they were all sick. The animals got better, and so did the people. They ran out of the non-GMO corn, went and bought the GMO corn off the market. Everyone got sick again until they switched to non-GMO. So there's an interesting thing where you track, especially for those who are particularly sensitive, you do the experiments. You do, it's like a scientific experiment. You turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off, and see the results. So we recommend strongly, as a takeaway from this conversation, that people try it and take notes. Do their own journal and find out how, what their energy level is, if they have headaches and whatnot. Do a journal, get a baseline, make the changes for several weeks, and see what happens. Sometimes we're not even aware of the improvements in our health unless we're paying attention to it. And then if you go back to the non-GMO, if you go back to the GMO-laden non-organic food, see what happens there.
So yeah. When I just want to ask one question, because these GMO foods are given to our animals. So when you're eating meat products that have been fed GMO foods, they are sick animals. Do they confer the pesticide to our bodies? Are we eating the pesticide through the animals?
We're definitely taking in the residue of the pesticide, the glyphosate. The tricky thing is, you know, people buy chicken and it says antibiotic free and free range and all of that. That chicken is probably still fed GMO crops. And, you know, there's corn and there's soy and there's alfalfa in almost all of the animal feed. So we're talking dairy, meat, poultry, all of that can still have the residue in it, and it can make a huge difference.
Yeah, basically, I mean, there hasn't been any scientific research on the impact of eating animals that have eaten GMOs. However, we do have plenty of evidence from people who notice when they switch to organic, which was not allowed to be to feeding animals GMOs, if they switch to organic meat, organic dairy, and organic eggs, they notice a difference. So it's in this particular case, for the direct food, we have a lot more research because we have animal feeding studies to back it up. For the milk, meat, and eggs, we just have lots and lots of people backing up that statement.
Yeah. Okay, I have one other question. So soy is a really popular product. Soy is popular as a, you know, a supplement for women's health. They're eating soy foods to help, you know, supposedly address hormonal imbalances. Not one of my favorite ways to go, to be honest, but it is very popular out there. What are your thoughts about using soy foods or soy supplements?
Certainly in terms of GMO or non-GMO, if you're going to eat soy, eat organic soy. Again, you know, what these families found is that they experimented. They tried and they found what worked or didn't work for them. When Kathleen eliminated soy from her husband's diet, his breast tumor, he had a male breast tumor, it disappeared. Her youngest child, who was a baby at the time, also had an endocrine disruption that was causing a very strange body odor, like a teenage boy. And he also was covered with rashes. When she eliminated soy from her diet while she was breastfeeding, those symptoms in her baby went away. So experiment. Check it out. Try it out. And one thing I want to add here is this sounds very serious and very scary, but, you know, one of the things that these families share so beautifully is that this can be fun. This is a party. This is getting back to the kitchen. This is having your friends over and spending an hour in the kitchen cooking. This is sharing meals. This is getting to know your farmers, getting to know your food, making it, sharing it, sitting down with your family and eating good food. There's a lot of fun to be had here, and people have a new relationship to eating.
Well, we're coming back to a blinding flash of the obvious. You have to eat food that is clean, that is grown in highly mineralized soils. We have to prepare it ourselves, not process it. It just goes back, but with even more urgency than ever before. So my one last question before we come to the end to you, Jeffrey, is what do we do in terms of political action? I know Monsanto is really under attack in California. There's some things happening there. What can we do to stop this growth of this industry?
Well, Monsanto is really backed into a corner right now because so many people are becoming aware of the dangers and avoiding GMOs, and so more and more food companies are removing them from their ingredients. And that, by the way, is a very strong political act, a very strong act for eliminating GMOs. Even if the government works hard to continue to promote GMOs and does not allow mandatory labeling, etc., we can still kick it out. We can still kick it out simply by educating enough people so that using genetically modified foods is a marketing liability for food companies. That's how it got kicked out of Europe, not through legislation. It got kicked out of Europe in terms of the food supply because aware consumers didn't want to eat it. That's how it got kicked out of the natural products industry. That's how bovine growth hormone, Monsanto's genetically engineered drug, got kicked out of most American dairies. And that's one of the main things we can do, is to get involved to spread the word. So if you go to responsibletechnology.org, you can sign up for a newsletter. You can sign up to be part of a Tipping Point network in your area. You can learn how to speak on GMO. There's all sorts of resources to get active on the education side and to learn more. Now, from a political side, there's an effort to buy the biotech industry and their friends in the food industry and in government to block mandatory labeling of GMOs. It's what most Americans want. GMOs are not labeled as such in this country. They are in 64 other countries. And Vermont passed a law that in July, anything that contains a GMO must label it as such. So the food companies are freaking out, and they got their friends in the Congress and the House side to pass what we call a DARK Act, denying the Americans the right to know, to eliminate the possibility of mandatory labeling and overthrow Vermont's legislation. Well, the Senate has not passed it, so it's not law, but they're considering doing it, and they're also considering this concept of putting labels in the form of barcodes. And barcodes are a way to hide it, so it's very difficult for people to know if something is GMO. So if you sign up for our newsletter at responsibletechnology.org, we'll tell you when and how to contact your Senate in order to help our efforts so that they don't end up passing a DARK Act or a Barcode Act.
Okay, so responsibletechnology.org. Responsibletechnology.org. And you have an app. Can you just give us that app real quick as well?
We don't have an app right now that's functioning in terms of shopping guide. We have a non-GMO shoppingguide.com website, which lists over 34,000 products that are non-GMO verified. So here are the three websites to know: responsibletechnology.org, non-GMO shoppingguide.com, and most importantly, secretingredientsmovie.com.
So I just want you to know before we go, I was really inspired. I've always been inspired by your work, Jeffrey, and now with Amy on board, it's fantastic what you guys are doing. And when we get off the show, I'm going on to Secret Ingredients Movie, and I'm going to donate to your
documentary. Thank you so much, Cheryl. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
I just want to say I hope everyone will go there and donate. Go ahead.
Thank you so much.
And again, thank you, Jeffrey Smith and Amy Hart, for sharing their work, their passion, their profound information to help all of us stay healthy. And to all of you listening, thank you again for joining me. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.
Thank you.